From the Theater Talk studio at WBFO, this is Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, and I'm joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hello, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Great to be here with you and the Erie County Fair right around the corner. Now,
yes.
While most people come to the fair for the food, the rides, the concerts, you suggest that people check out the agricultural exhibits because really they represent the roots of the fair.
That's the reason the fair exists. And, you know, Mark, I believe it is still the reason the fair exists. I mean, certainly the rides are nice, and there's a historic element to almost everything at the fair, including the rides, because of the many decades that Straits has operated those concessions. But the real meat of the fair, I maybe shouldn't use that word, is the agricultural the big barns, and it's really just great to go and visit these barns and look at all the animals up close and personal in a way that you never see, especially those of us like me. You know, I live in the city, and to see all, you know, the pigs, the cows, the sheep, the chickens, and all the different kinds of chickens that there are. And they're sometimes the most exotic looking creatures there, but it's what the fair is all about. It's what it was started for, and it's still very important for that.
And it's not just the animals, but there are plenty of educational exhibits,
yes,
including new this year, the Urban Farming Trail.
Right. The Urban Farming Trail, which will introduce people to all the great city-located farms that there are throughout Buffalo, and there are, I'm sure, at least a dozen. And then also there's a dairy row that educates people on how calves are raised. There was a calf born at the fair last year who will be on hand, Western. And this all takes place. They have the Agricultural Discovery Center, which is new as of, I believe, last year. Could be the year before.
Okay. My personal favorite from the fair, not related to food or rides, the fire truck exhibits, because there's a truck in there that was active when I was a little boy, and now it's in this museum.
I have never even seen that. Well, and that is the beauty of the fair. It's so gigantic. There's so many elements to it that I bet a lot of people haven't seen. Even if you, it's kind of like, I think of it sort of like the Metropolitan Museum in New York, where you can wander in there and see something new every time. And I think people could find something new at the fair every single year.
What is it about fairs, and it's not just here, but around the country, that there seems to be a goal of creating the absolute unhealthiest food on Earth?
Any
theories here?
That's been going on for a while, and it's now a tradition, and there's a competition, and there's generally the new deep-fried whatever.
Yeah.
Per year. I think I saw something that will be at this year's fair that sounds impossible. It's like a double cheeseburger wrapped in bacon and then wrapped in wrapped in batter and then deep fried. Something like that, but worse.
Yeah.
I think it has other things in it. It's not just a cheeseburger. It has other things in it.
Yeah.
Maybe French fries are in it. I'm not sure.
I think once when we went to the fair a few years ago, I tried one of those items, and it just sort of sank to the bottom of my stomach.
I've tried, actually, the deep-fried butter was quite good. It's sort of like
I never had that.
It was like a plain, sort of very buttery pastry.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't sweet, and it didn't taste that bizarre at all. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, as the calendar page turns from July to August, many lament the fact that summer is nearing an end. The Allentown Art Festival, Taste of Buffalo, Canal Fest, etc., all in the rearview mirror. But in checking out the various listings in Spree's August issue, there are plenty of outdoor activities, concerts,
sure,
and festivals to come.
Well, there's lots of outdoor concerts. I think Art Park is the place to look at. They have this Plasticiennes Volantes with The Machine, which is a Pink Floyd group, and that sounds phenomenal. Next year they have Thievery Corporation. Those are just two of the stellar concerts I can think of at Art Park, but then throughout the entire region, Canal Side and so on, they have their outdoor concerts scheduled. And more festivals like the Corn, you know, don't forget the Corn Festival. And then there's a couple garden walks yet. There's actually a couple more garden walks you can go to.
And the I enjoy going to this. I think it's been renamed with a corporate sponsor, but the Lewiston Jazz Festival.
Oh, that is a really good festival. There's just so many.
And the Elmwood Festival of the Arts.
beautiful festival.
Yeah, so
great festival. And they always have new things planned too. And I, you know, it's very difficult to put these on, and people have to remember that a lot of these are put on almost entirely by volunteers.
Yeah. I'd like to give a shout out to our friend Ron Emke, who presents 10 Hot August Nights for Cool Cats, giving a Scoville system rating to each of the concerts. Now, for the uninitiated, do you want me to explain?
Please do.
What a Scoville unit
please
is?
<do. laughs>
Okay. It's called the SHU, Scoville Heat Unit. It was a system, or it is a system, developed by a scientist by the name of Wilbur Scoville that rates the heat level of chili peppers. A bell pepper, for instance, has an SHU of 0, while a jalapeno pepper is rated at 2,500 SHUs. So he uses that to talk about the intensity that you can expect at these concerts.
And then he also confuses us by talking about how cool they are. I actually read through this a couple times. But you know, the thing with Ron is he doesn't really require much editing at all, so yeah. I don't have to worry about his copy. So I just assume that, you know, as long as it's grammatically right and stylistically right, and I know that will always be the case, whatever kind of other bizarre elements he's bringing in are fine with me.
Well, with some of the concerts that receive an SHU of 10 or around 10, the music is jazzy. You know, people are chilling, so not much.
That's right.
Not much
okay.
heat there. But the Smashing Pumpkins at Darien Lake garners 15 million SHU.
See,
now that's hot.
You've comprehended this way better
okay.
than I did. Thanks, Mark. Thank you very much for this. Now I'll go back to it and read it.
Yeah. Well, apparently Buffalo has been visited by some writers from the website Atlas Obscura this summer. It's an online magazine that takes readers to obscure travel destinations. They were escorted around town by city planner Chris Hawley. And did they see the usual examples of architecture in our area?
Well, they did and they didn't.
Okay.
But they saw them from unusual vantage points. I was impressed that Chris was able to take them to the top of the Central Terminal. I couldn't figure out where. I had to email him. I said, where did you take the picture that's in our magazine? I said, where did you take this from? You know, I knew it was at the really top of something, but it certainly was not City Hall.
Yeah.
But it was at the other end of the city from the Central Terminal. So I thought that was really cool. He took them to Oxford Pennant, which they loved. It's a little shop you've probably never seen. It's a storefront on Main Street
okay. In
the 700 block, and they really liked that. Colored Musicians Club was unfortunately closed. Hotel Henry, and I think the theme was places that once were abandoned that are now being brought to reuse or actually being successfully reused now.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he took them mainly.
Well, I'm familiar with Atlas Obscura because it's now run by a podcaster I listen to every week, David Plotz.
Oh, yeah.
Dickerson, and Emily Bazelon have been the hosts of the Slate Political Gab Fest for about 13, 14 years. It's a must-listen to for anybody interested in politics.
But I'll make a note of that.
Here he, you know, left Slate and now is heading up this unusual website.
Well, they probably have an Atlas Obscura podcast then, one, or they should.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he does that, but they probably
should.
They
need some more Buffalo sites that are truly bizarre, though, for this type of, like, for example, they ought to have Prophet Isaiah's Second Coming House on there. That's in Niagara Falls, but of course I just think of all of, you know, not,
yeah.
as this is all sort of part of Buffalo, but that would be one thing. And there's a few other things, too, many other things, actually, that could be there.
Also in the August issue, you write about the upcoming construction of the region's first
yes.
lifestyle center at the site of the old Northtown Plaza in Amherst. After years of delay and anticipation, I think construction is actually getting underway.
Yes, it is. And they do have, as you can read in the article, they do have a good number of tenants signed up. And that's the main thing you wait for, is to get all your tenants signed up. And my friend Krista Glennie-Seishu is actually the manager of that and is working for other such sites in Massachusetts now. And she told me that the thing about coaxing these people, once you get them here, that's what takes the longest. It's just to get them to make the decision, you know, whatever business it might be, to come to Buffalo. Once you've got them here, she said, it's easy. It's an easy sell. They instantly see that this is a good place for them. And they see the value of what we have here. It's just getting them here, and that can take months or even years.
And they're going to call it Station 12?
Yes, yes, because it's a name on a very early map. It goes back to a very early map of Amherst. And what people don't realize when you drive around Amherst, we've talked about this before in Williamsville and so on, that those are very early settled places, that they have a lot of history too, just like Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. And how did Krista go from being food editor of Buffalo Spree to now managing a project of this nature?
Well, in between Spree, she had a couple other gigs that she did, but they searched her out. Yeah. And you know, I searched Krista out. She's someone whose talents you notice right away, and I noticed her talents when she was working for Buffalo Rising. And I listened to her when she used to talk to you, you know, in Buffalo Rising, but I also read her stuff mainly, and I contacted her. She's the kind of person that people contact.
And I just want to talk, I might have mentioned this in past podcasts, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself, but when my son was going to medical school in Cleveland,
You never talk about your son, Mark.
Tell me more. We went to a lifestyle center near his house, about 6 miles from his apartment at the time, Legacy Village, and it was one of these lifestyle centers, and it was just really, really cool. On a Friday night, there'd be a band playing, there'd be a courtyard with grass, and you just sit down and enjoy some music, and restaurants were around the patios,
sure.
And
that's
people are having
point.
Drinks.
Yeah, there's yoga going on.
Yeah.
There might be some sort of arts and cultural activities going on there. So it's not, you know, it takes the whole idea of a mall and it makes it something that's pleasant for people to just be at instead of a chore, some place they want to go, a real attraction, which I suppose malls used to be, but aren't anymore.
Yeah. Before wrapping up, I do want to publicly thank you for inviting my wife, Mary Lou, and me to your Allentown home, where I finally had a chance to see your garden as part of Garden Walk Weekend, and just jaw-dropping, just so beautiful.
Yeah, it looks much better now. See, I have to be the typical gardener and say that you missed all kinds of things that are going on now. So it's a shame, really, that you saw it when you did.
All the work that must go into it.
Well, it's setting it up. Any garden thing is just getting it laid out, set up, getting everything in the pots and so on. From then on, it's maintenance.
Okay.
It's just maintenance, and it's mostly manageable.
Okay. But, you know, kudos to you, because very lovely.
Well, it was great to have you guys. And, you know, in fact, I've heard from people who talked to you said how great it was talking to you.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Yeah. Well, thanks. Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.